This evening, Psalm 100, and as you're turning to Psalm 100, I'm going to remind you of what it is that we've been studying here on Wednesday evenings. We spent several weeks going through the response of the Lord Jesus Christ to the disciple. Of course, he speaks to all of the disciples, but there was an individual disciple that asked the question, "Lord, teach us to pray," as it's recorded in Luke chapter number 11. And Jesus said unto them, "When ye pray, say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so on earth. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." And as we studied through those few verses of Luke chapter number 11, we learned that Jesus, of course, was providing for us not a prayer that we are to just memorize and mindlessly repeat and just regularly repeat this prayer, but he was providing for us some framework, a model of prayer. And we learned as we studied through the portion of Scripture how that we, as we follow that framework, we're reminded of the relationship that we have with the God of the universe, that He is the God of the universe, but He's our Father. And that relationship through, of course, the atonement, the substitutionary atonement of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. And we're mindful as we look at that model of giving us the framework, if you will. We're reminded of developing that spirit of humility and a spirit of reverence, a spirit of, understanding that it's God's will, not my will, a spirit of submission to the will of God. We're mindful that He is our provider. And what a joy to understand that as we look at that framework, how God will help us in our prayer lives. In Psalm chapter number 100, we find that, of course, there's great truth in these five verses, but we're going to single in specifically on a phrase in verse number 4, but I'll read the entire chapter. It's only five verses. Psalm 100, the Word of God says, "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people, and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving, and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him, and bless His name. For the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endureth to all generations." We understand that, and we'll use as the title, verse number 4, the beginning phrase there, "Enter into His gates with thanksgiving." In 2 Timothy chapter number 3, the Apostle Paul is discussing the last days. And as he's providing a detailed description of how men will be characterized, one of the terms that he uses in that description is unthankful. No doubt in our lives we have encountered some that are unthankful. There are individuals in our society today that have this attitude really of being entitled, and they deserve, and it's what they're owed, and therefore they have no gratitude. They're not thankful for the things that they have received because it's just what's their due. And Paul says that amongst a number of other things, one term that will characterize the generation in the last days is that they'll be an unthankful people. I hope and trust that it would never be said of God's people that we lack gratitude, that we have just an unthankful spirit. No, as we look here and we understand the truth that God has given us throughout His Word, we as the people of God, we ought to be people that are offering thanks and praise to our God regularly. And we find that here the psalmist says, "Enter into His gates with thanksgiving." And so as we continue to really deal with this thought of our prayer lives, and of course over the last several weeks I've made note of the fact that we need a revival of prayer. And we were at a pastor's meeting yesterday, and I had the privilege of preaching, and Brother Hummel also was preaching from Beacon of Truth Baptist Ministries. We're over at Mike Aylstock's church, and Brother Hummel preached a message from 2 Chronicles 7 and verse number 14 and dealing with revival. And he asked this question, which was something that I said in the very beginning of this study with regard to prayer and needing a revival of prayer in the lives of God's people. He said, which service in your weekly calendar is the least attended service? Is it not the prayer meeting? And I said this to you before we started, or as we began this study, that has nothing to do with COVID, by the way. For years and years and years, the least attended service of a Baptist church is the midweek prayer meeting. And it's as if we just don't think prayer is important. And the reality is that there is power in prayer, and the opportunity that we have as the people of God to engage in corporate prayer is a precious privilege that we have. And as we look here and we begin to, go a little bit further than what we've studied in Luke chapter 11 with regard to our prayer lives, I believe that as we look at this thought this evening, that it is necessary for us to develop a spirit of gratitude in our prayer lives. And I said often as we studied over the last few weeks that prayer is not us bringing some grocery list of needs to God. We're communing with our Father. We're having the privilege of entering into His presence, and it's not just some list of needs or demands, but it's the fact that we have the privilege of fellowshipping with our Savior. And what a great joy that is. And we see here that it says, enter into His gates with thanksgiving. I have made it a practice in my life, in my prayer life, that I begin with thanksgiving. I begin with praise. And I have sought to, in my life, follow really the model that we see in Psalm 150. If you want to turn over there, in Psalm 150, of course, a psalm, not a very lengthy psalm again, but a psalm that deals with praising God. And here in this psalm, and beginning in verse number 1, it says, praise ye the Lord, praise God in His sanctuary, praise Him in the firmament of His power, praise Him for His mighty acts. Praise Him according to His excellent greatness, verse 3. Praise Him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise Him with the psaltery and harp. Praise Him with the timbrel and dance. Praise Him with stringed instruments and organs. Praise Him upon the loud cymbals. Praise Him upon the high-sounding cymbals. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. There's a lot of praise in there, amen? And giving thanks, we understand as New Testament believers, we have been given the truth and really the admonition, the instruction that we are to be a thankful people. Paul said this in Ephesians 5 in verse number 20, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. In Philippians chapter number 4, in verse number 6, Paul says, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And then, of course, we're familiar with what Paul says to the church in Thessalonica in 1 Thessalonians 5 in verse number 18, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. I'd like to just share some thoughts with you this evening with regard to enter into His gates with thanksgiving. From this thought in Psalm 100 and verse number 4, and from the really the formula, if you will, that I find in Psalm 150 and verse number 2, where the Bible says, praise Him for His mighty acts, praise Him according to His excellent greatness. I'm really going to take Psalm 150 and verse number 2 and use it in reverse order. What are we to thank God for? Number one, I thank God for who He is. I thank God for who He is. And you've heard me say this over the years, but it's certainly worth repeating when we deal with the fact that when we learn to praise and thank God for who He is, we will never lack reason to rejoice. We will never lack reason to give thanks. Why? Because our God never changes. He's always the same. He is the same yesterday and today and forever. He is immutable, and we're so thankful for that. I'm just going to go through the list quickly. I jotted down 20 things. You say, man, I don't have enough room for that. Write small. I did. And I'm not going to give you verses for everything. We're not going to go look at all the verses, but I could give you verses for each of these. But when I think about thanking God for who He is, think about this. Our God is holy. He's holy. You know, you ought to thank God that He's holy. The psalmist said that we're to give thanks at the remembrance of His holiness. Our God's not becoming holy. He is holy. He's just. Aren't you thankful that our God is just? He's holy. He's just. He's righteous. These are the attributes, the characteristic traits that we find of our God as we study the Word of God and we begin to dive in and begin to look at who He is and how He has revealed Himself to us. So we thank God for who He is, that He's holy, He's just, He's righteous. I'm thankful that He's eternal. He's Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. The reality is that we serve a God who transcends time. He's outside of time. He's always relevant. His Word is always relevant because He's eternal. And we find that we ought to rejoice in understanding, giving thanks that our God is eternal. He's omnipotent. He has all power. There's nothing too hard for our God. Nothing. We ought to thank Him for that. Not only is He omnipotent, He's omniscient. He knows all things. We read throughout the Scriptures about the omniscience of God. We see it displayed in the life and ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ when individuals are there listening and trying to find and catch Jesus in some kind of a trap. And He understands and He challenges them on their very thoughts. He knows all things. He's omnipresent. He said that He'll never leave us nor forsake us. He's with us. What a joy, what a blessing. He's gracious. Aren't you thankful for the grace of God? We think about His grace. We sing about amazing grace. Grace greater than all our sin. Where sin did abound, grace was more. Aren't you thankful for the grace of God? That He is gracious. He's merciful. He's merciful. His mercy endureth forever. We find that as we study the Word of God that He's compassionate. He's compassionate. You know, on a number of occasions you'll read throughout the New Testament with regard to the life and ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ that the Bible says that He was moved with compassion. He was moved with compassion. He was compassionate. Our God is faithful. Faithful is He that calleth you, who also will do it. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 24. We understand that our God is faithful. He's trustworthy. He's dependable. We sing, "Great is Thy faithfulness." Thanking God for who He is. He's my rock. He's my rock. He's my refuge. We spoke about that on Sunday when we looked at that truth from Psalm 62, "Pour out your heart before Him." And the psalmist said, "He is a refuge for us." That shelter. What a joy to know that He is my refuge. He's my shield. Buckler is a word that you'll often see throughout the Psalms dealing with the fact that He's our shield. He's our buckler. I'm thankful that He's my helper. He's my helper. He is a very present help in the time of trouble. We, of course, spoke last year throughout the book of Hebrews looking unto Jesus, and we said this, "I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills. From whence cometh my help? My help cometh from the Lord who made heaven and earth." The Lord is our helper. You know, He's my great high priest. You think about the truth and the book of Hebrews, we looked at it extensively last year, that He is the great high priest. He is my great high priest. He ever liveth to make intercession for us. We find that He is the Creator. Not only is He the Creator, but He is the sustainer of all things. We find that He is the Redeemer. I shall say He is my Redeemer. I would say this, as we think about who He is my shepherd. He's my shepherd. Of course, we understand there are many things that go along with that. And if I could sum up the list of all of those points that I made quickly this evening, I would say He's my all in all. He's everything that we need Him to be. Remember when He spoke to Moses and gave Moses the responsibility of going and speaking to Pharaoh and giving deliverance to the people of God. Moses asked the question, "Whom shall I say sent me?" He says, "I am. I am that I am." And what is God saying? We've often heard a preacher of yesteryear perhaps saying, "I am whatever you need me to be." He's God. He's our God. And I went through that list very quickly this evening, and the reality is that I don't believe there's one amongst us that did not know one of those characteristics or attributes of God. I've preached messages on these attributes of God. I've taught them over the years. You're familiar with them. But I wonder this morning, or this evening, and I'm not going to ask you to try to call you out, but how many of those things did you thank God for today? How many of those things did you thank God for this week? How many of those things did you thank God for this month? You understand what I'm saying? We're to give thanks. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving. We look at Psalm 150 in verse number 2. It says at the end of the verse, praise Him according to His excellent greatness. The psalmist says in Psalm 135, I know that the Lord is great. If I were to ask you when you came into the service this evening, do you know that God is great? I think every one of you would have said, absolutely, God is great. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. Amen? He's great. He's a great God. He's our God. If I were to ask you, is He holy? Is He just? Is He righteous? Is He all of these things? Oh, yes, yes, yes. But do we thank Him for it? Are we mindful of who He is? And are we rejoicing? Are we thanking Him? See, here's what I find in my own personal prayer life is that when I begin my prayer time with this spirit of thanksgiving, when I enter into His presence with just praising Him and thanking Him for who He is, and in my mind I begin to go through these attributes of God, and I may not mention every attribute of God. It may be that I get looking at certain ones and what have you, but as I begin to get into that spirit of gratitude and thanking Him for who He is, it really takes my prayer time in a completely different direction. As I'm just standing in awe of our God and how wonderful He is. See, this evening, when we think about prayer, when we think about our prayer lives in this revival of prayer, oh, that we would get to the place where we're entering into His gates with thanksgiving. That we're not just entering into His gates with a list of our needs and our wants and our desires, but that we enter into His gates with thanksgiving and praising Him for who He is. He's a great God. Not only for who He is, but for what He does. We notice in verse number 2, it says, praise Him for His mighty acts. You know, we ought to thank God for who He is. And as we thank God for who He is, we find that He never changes, so we can always thank Him for those things. His attributes, His characters, characteristics that we find throughout the Word of God. But then we think about thanking God for what He does. I would say this, I've only listed 10 things this evening for this particular point of thanking God for what He does. I'm just trying to give you a little sampling this evening to get your mind kind of thinking in this regard, so that as you enter into your time of prayer, that you're entering into His gates with thanksgiving. You're saying, look at all these things I have to be thankful for. I mean, I just start getting full of thanksgiving and praising God, and it just certainly brings me into a place of worship. But we thank God for what He does. You know, He saves. Aren't you thankful that He's the Redeemer? He's your Savior. He saved you. But He didn't just save you. He has the power to save others. And we think about that salvation that He offers, that He is the Savior of the world. And what a blessing to know the Lord Jesus Christ is our personal Savior. Not only does He save, but He provides. We mentioned in that list of who He is that He is my shepherd. We understand the Bible teaches us that He is the good shepherd. He's the chief shepherd. But what a joy to know, as the psalmist said in Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. And as the shepherd, He provides for us. We mentioned as we looked at that passage in Luke chapter number 11, give us day by day our daily bread. And we understand that as we would pray and understand through the model of that framework, and we would be mindful of the provision of God, the way that He provides for us. I'm thankful that He protects. The protection of God. You know, there are times in which He protects you and you don't even know what He's protecting you from. Someone came into church on Sunday morning and said they almost got in a car wreck on the way. And it was a really tough situation. I said, thank God for His protection. Thank God for His protection. I'm thankful that He, I'll say this, He develops His children. Now, the reality is that there are times in which the process of being developed and being conformed in the image of His Son, according to Romans 8 and verse 28 and 29, it's not always a pleasant process. It's not always the enjoyable process of being developed, but the reality is that we understand that our God is developing us. He's growing us. He's helping us to become all that we're to be in Christ. And what a blessing. I'm thankful that He's interested in doing a work in our lives individually. We sing the song with the children, He's still working on me. Right? He made all the world. He created all that there is, but He's still working on me. He did all of that in 6 days. Amen? Genesis chapter number 1. But man, He's still working on us. And I'm thankful for the way in which God develops us. I'm thankful for the way in which He delivers us. You know, the reality is that He provides deliverance. I mentioned on Sunday when I'm preaching through Psalm 62 there that the psalmist often, as you find throughout the book of Psalms, when he uses the word salvation, he's not talking about soul redemption salvation, but deliverance from some trial, some trouble, some difficulty. I'm thankful for the way in which God delivers us as His people. I'm thankful that He answers prayer. Aren't you thankful that our God answers prayer? There's a fellow yesterday that I sent a text message to. He's not a member of our church. He's never been to our church. But I met him a number of years ago, and I saw him recently. And he mentioned something to me that was going on. And I told him, I said, "Brother, I'll be praying for you." And I did. I saw him on a particular day, and over the next few days, I prayed for him. And there was the particular thing was yesterday. And I prayed for him specifically yesterday morning, and I sent him a text and said, "Brother, I just want you to know I'm praying for you." And last night he sent me a text, and he said, "You have no idea how blessed we are to serve a God who hears and answers prayer." He said it was just about 4 minutes from when the thing was due, and nothing was working, it was all messed up, and I was just about to give up, and then God answered. He said, "Thank you for praying." Now that was an encouragement to me. The reality is I don't even know what really he was dealing with. I don't know all of the details of it, but I just prayed and said, "God, would you help him?" And he gave me that testimony back of how God answers prayer. And I replied to him and I said, "What a joy to know that our God hears and answers prayer." And he said, "Indeed, He does." And we were encouraged one with another last night over text message because we serve a God who hears and answers prayer. What He does. You know, He teaches us the Word of God. The psalmist prays throughout the Psalms. You can find many references when he says, "Teach me Thy way, O Lord." We find that one of the ministries of the Holy Spirit of God is to be the divine teacher. There are times in which we have individuals that would perhaps say something of, "I don't understand this, I don't know what this means, I'm having a difficulty with understanding this passage of Scripture." I'm so thankful that God is our teacher, that He teaches us His Word. The psalmist said in Psalm 86, "Teach me Thy way, O Lord, I will walk in Thy truth." I'm always convicted by that verse of Scripture, Psalm 86 and verse 11, because really what we find that the psalmist is saying, he has this desire to be taught the way of the Lord, but he makes this commitment to walk in truth. When God teaches us His Word, we ought to obey His Word, to be doers of the Word and not hearers only. He enables us. I think about Paul when he shares testimony about the ministry that he was entrusted with and the privilege that he understood was his to be able to serve the Lord God of the universe. And he says this in 1 Timothy 1 and verse number 12, "And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord who hath enabled me, for that He counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry." He enables. I'll say this, He chastens. He corrects us. You say, "I don't know if I'm thankful for that." You ought to be. You ought to be. We ought to thank God that He loves us enough to correct us, to chasten us. The Bible says, "Whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth." Right? Is that not what the Word of God says? And so we ought to thank God when He corrects us, when He chastens us. We ought to thank God when the Word of God convicts us. What a blessing and what a joy that the Holy Spirit of God would be working in our lives using His Word and the chastening and the correction that God brings in the lives of His people. I'm so thankful that our God chastens and that He corrects us as His people. I would say this, I'm thankful for what He does. I'm thankful that He is the preserver of Scripture. We know that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, but God said in Psalm 12 that He would preserve His Word. And I'm so thankful that He has. And one of the truths that I understand and I've shared with you often is that really everything that I shared with you this evening is the result of the fact that God has preserved this book. If He had not preserved this book, we would not know that He's holy. We would not know that He's just or righteous or, I mean, all of the other attributes that I mentioned this evening. We wouldn't know if He did not preserve His Word. And so I just want to challenge you this evening, a simple thought tonight. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving. I mean, we're to be a thankful people. And I didn't even get into all the other things that we should be thankful for, but if we just start with these things, if we start with thanking God for who He is, thanking God for what He does, entering into His gates with thanksgiving. And I would challenge you this evening. Maybe you'd say, yes, Pastor, when I prayed this morning, man, I had a great season of praising and thanking God and being mindful of who He is and His attributes. And man, I just was standing in awe of God. It was awesome. Praise the Lord. But maybe for some, that entering into His gates with thanksgiving has kind of been missing. Maybe we have not been as thankful as we ought to be. Maybe we have not been worshiping and praising our God, thanking Him. The believer, we have been given a command to give thanks, but really when we understand all that He is and all that He's done, we really shouldn't even need a command to give thanks. We ought to just be thankful. Amen? You know, we find in the nation of Israel, throughout the Old Testament, something very interesting. They were a people that loved to complain and murmur. I like the word murmur. I think it's kind of a word that helps us understand how bad it is when we complain, murmur. And they were always murmuring and complaining. God provided miraculously for them bread every day. And they said, "We hate this bread." Right? They just had something to complain about all the time. I trust that it would not be said of us as the people of God that we would be a complaining people, but that we'd be a thankful people. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving. We need to develop a spirit, an attitude of gratitude in our prayer lives. And I believe when we begin that way, it's really going to transform the entirety of your prayer time. It's going to cause you to have a different perspective because you're seeing God and seeing Him for who He really is and all of His beauty and all of His greatness. And I'm so thankful that God has given us this book that has revealed those things to us. And so as we seek to have a revival of prayer, I trust that we would enter into His gates with thanksgiving. Father, we love You. We thank You for loving us. We thank You for the privilege being able to spend just a little bit of time this evening quickly going over a number of attributes, who You are and some things that You've done. No doubt the list is nowhere near exhaustive. We could add and add and add to this list. The purpose, however, this evening is to help us develop this attitude of gratitude in our prayer lives, the spirit of thankfulness. That we would enter into Your gates with thanksgiving, that we would in everything give thanks, understanding that this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning us. Help us to be a thankful people. I pray that You'd bless our time of prayer. Help us, Lord, to exalt You and magnify You. We thank You that You do hear and answer prayer. We pray that You'd be glorified, for it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.